This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's okay to laugh. We're heading into Friday, final day of the week. I've dubbed it a flannel Friday. So if you want to wear flannel, you can be like your favorite talk show host, or even your least favorite talk show host. Regardless, just find some flannel, especially if you're in a place where the temperatures have turned a little bit cooler. Even as I say that, it's going to be 80 in my neighborhood on Friday, but temps are down. I think it was 48 when I got home on Thursday morning, which I really like. It's nice inside, good sleeping weather. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our social media is hopping already. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Take our poll about week three in the NFL. And then also on our Facebook page, dozens of comments already. Lots of you really fired up about the football weekend, which makes me happy. And the SEC will be added into the mix as well. We'll get back to your calls too. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
When all else fails, into the backfield and let Ryan Fitzpatrick run around, right?
Well, or a quarterback draw. And there it is. Quarterback draw, touchdown Miami.
Hey, that's a pretty darn good call by you guys right there. They love playing with him.
Yes, they do. Mobbing him in the end zone.
It was good. I felt like we were efficient today. We had a good game plan. We followed it. Guys made plays. And, you know, the second half, running the clock out a little bit and that stuff. But I thought our guys up front especially came to play today.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, the joy of football. And it's all over his face, his body language, that ginormous grin you can still see even with the bushy beard. 18 of 20, 160 yards, a couple of touchdowns, and the Dolphins overwhelm the Jaguars for their first win of the season. The calls on the Dolphins radio network. We are pleased to welcome from Jacksonville, Armando Salguero, who attended the game, covering it for radio.com as our NFL insider and also for the Miami Herald. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a rare breed, and I mean that as a compliment, Armando. He loves to play football. He's the wrong guy to bring in if you're looking to tank. We saw that last year. And he leads the Dolphins to a big victory tonight.
Well, not just loves to play football, but just is a competitor and is infectious in the way that he does it. I mean, what quarterback hands off to a running back and then decides, I'm 37 years old. I'm a quarterback. It's very dangerous up there, but I'm going to lead block for my running back. And that's one thing that he did tonight. He was their second leading rusher tonight. He completed 90% of his passes. And sorry, Tua, you're going to have to wait a little longer before you get on the field for the Miami Dolphins this year.
But how many times a week is that question posed to Brian Flores, do you think?
Well, seeing as that I've been one of those people posing the question, every week, it happens every week, but I think we all recognize that the Dolphins want to play for something greater than just developing a rookie quarterback. These guys, they have veteran guys on the team now, unlike last year, and they think that they can win. And that wasn't the case the first 2 weeks, but after tonight, you know, I wouldn't say that it's a season saver, but really it's a season readjuster tonight because they didn't go for September. And now they have a thought that, you know, we can compete and we can be at least sort of a factor in the AFC.
Which of the let's talk offense here. Which of the pieces that they have offensively are guys that are they intend to keep for the future? Guys that will be part of the rebuilt Miami Dolphins.
Right. So Devontae Parker is a guy that they value on the outside. He had a 1,000-yard plus season last year in a tanking season, which is what 2019 was. He's having a good year again at the start this year. You know, they've got an offensive line that they really like. And that offensive line, four of the five guys are brand new this year, including two rookies, Solomon Kinley at one guard spot, the right guard spot, and left tackle Austin Jackson, who was a first-round pick. Those guys are cornerstone-type guys, along with Eric Flowers, who they picked up in free agency. So they think they've got the offensive line more or less solved with some more, you know, polish and some more experience. They'll be better. And then, you know, they've got a tight end that they like in Mike Gesicki. He's also going to be a cornerstone guy going forward. There are guys all around the roster that really they think they have a future with. But we won't really know until Tua gets into games and he starts to relate to these people or doesn't. And then we'll know where things are headed.
So then what is the plan, at least coming from Coach Flores for Tua? Is it possible we could not see him all season?
That's possible. If Ryan Fitzpatrick keeps winning or playing well, the way that they measure it, and they measured it this way last year when Josh Rosen was on the roster, another young quarterback that they thought, well, maybe he has a future, is who gives us the best chance to win this week? And that's, so far, the answer been Ryan Fitzpatrick. And here's the question. If at any point it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, does that question become moot? So far, it's not moot. At 0-3, that's why I'm telling you that this was a big win for them in that it readjusts the, you know, the narrative for the season from when does Tua start to we know that Ryan continues to start because they're in something. They have a chance for something. Until that change is back, I think that Ryan Fitzpatrick continues.
The old dude with a very large puffy beard. Armando Salguero is with us from Jacksonville, NFL insider for radio.com, and of course a longtime Miami Herald columnist. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Jacksonville's one of those places that is allowed to have fans, and so they had a smattering of fans at the stadium. What did it sound like to you with, you know, with that limited capacity?
Well, you know, the Dolphins got on the Jaguars 14-0, so it sounded not so loud. You know, not that there was a lot of fans anyway. I think that they were limited to 13 or 15,000, and there were probably fewer than that in the stands. But when your team gives up an opening possession touchdown, and then your offense punts, and then the defense gives up another touchdown, and it's 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. There's not a whole lot to be cheering about, so it didn't sound great for Jacksonville.
But the Jaguars are that team, well, another one of the teams in the NFL, where the expectations are extremely low and where they're not really expected to do anything, especially when you consider the other teams in their division. But as you talk about the NFL and the, you know, the teams that could catch people by surprise, there is at least an excitement around Gardner Minshew, and don't tell him that they're not supposed to win.
No, I mean, they are what I would say is a plucky team, okay? They have some underrated talent. Chenault is a good player. Chark is a good player. You know, obviously, the mustache, Gardner Minshew, he runs around, makes things happen. He was off tonight, but typically that's not been what he's done. You know, they've got some nice talent over on the defensive side. Josh Allen had 10 sacks last year as, you know, as a rookie, I think, last year. Mm-hmm. So what I'm thinking is this is a team that got rid of a lot of named players to improve their chemistry. And their chemistry is better now. Their cohesion is better now. But they need to find their kind of guys, their kind of players now to infuse that locker room again with some, you know, top-tier talent to go along with the plucky guys so that they can become a much better team.
Would you consider Doug Marrone to be the king of the pluckies?
I kind of like Doug Marrone as a head coach. And I know that his time in Jacksonville may or may not be numbered. I know that he got that team to the AFC Championship game a couple of years ago.
Right.
So he obviously knows how to get that far. The question for the Cons who own the team is he our guy going forward when we do the rebuild? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know that they know the answer yet.
Would you describe it as a hot seat under his butt?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Obviously come December, seats become warmer as the weather becomes cooler. And depending on what, if they continue to play like they did tonight, absolutely. But if they play like they did the first couple of weeks, he's got a shot. Mm.
Armando Salguero with us from Jacksonville after Thursday night football, start of week 3. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Man, it seems like years ago that the Super Bowl was in Miami. And so I was there. My show was there. I'm sure you were there. And here we are into week 3 of a new season. How would you describe what we've seen so far from the NFL?
A huge, huge success in that. 2 months ago, 3 months ago, people were saying there will not be an NFL season. There were doubters.
Right.
There were people that were wondering how long the NFL would play before it was going to go into some sort of suspension because of positive COVID tests and you know, teams not being able to field entire rosters on a whim from one day to the next because of COVID. And yet, I think that last week, the week of September 13th through the 19th, the 2,000-plus players in the NFL were tested 14,000-plus times, not one positive test. And so, week 3 has begun with this Thursday night game, and so far, so good. You got to remember, unlike the NBA or other – you know, sports, the NHL, I guess,
right.
They're not in a bubble.
Right.
They're not at, you know, they're at their facilities and they're traveling around the country. And yet so far, so good.
That is incredible to me. I seriously can't get over the fact that this is happening and it's not just a mild success, but it's almost as though the virus has become a non-story with the NFL. I mean, these guys have completely and totally sold out to making sure this season takes place.
I think head coaches and organizations have taken on the responsibility of making sure everybody understands you are not responsible for yourself anymore. You're responsible for you and the 69 other guys, you know, including the practice squad guys that are around you and the 20-man coaching staff and the hundreds of people in the organization that you're representing. And so if you go out and you do things that are irresponsible and you catch COVID, if you're that guy, you're going to look like a dummy.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be clear that you were that guy. And nobody, I think, in the NFL wants to be that guy.
Right. And who wants to stand in front of a locker room full of other guys and say, oh, I was that guy. I was the one. So there's some peer pressure to it as well, Armando. So we've got 11 teams that are still undefeated, and we're starting to see some trends, starting to see some teams and their personalities. What are a few storylines that jump out at you after a couple of weeks?
Well, a lot of quarterbacks changed teams this offseason. A lot of veteran quarterbacks changed teams, right?
Right.
And Philip Rivers to Indy. Tom Brady is in Tampa Bay. Cam Newton is in New England. You know, Joe Flacco went to the Jets, although he's not, you know, active yet. A lot of quarterbacks change teams, and right now, the guy that signed last is probably looking best, and that's Cam Newton. And the guy that signed for the least expensive, you know, contract is looking the best, and that's Cam Newton in New England. I saw him the first week. He looked revived. He looked like he was, you know, 24 again. I watched him play against Seattle. He had him one play from winning the game. I don't know. I kind of like him for comeback player of the year at this point.
And I love this week when he was spitting some fire and some truth and saying he doesn't need to worry about the contract, because if he plays the way that he is right now, if he stays healthy, the contract will, in fact, take care of itself.
Any quarterback that can, you know, do what he is doing so far is going to get what? Paid. Mm. And so, and he knows that. And so he can bide his time. It's not like, you know, he's looking for the first big contract of his career. He is going to get a big one next year if he continues on the current path.
There are a couple of teams that surprised me at 2-0, the Bears being one of them, the Raiders at 2-0, and even though there was a lot of buzz around the Cardinals, the fact that they've started out 2-0 with a victory over the Niners, when you think surprises early on, what are a couple that grab you?
Well, I mean, you know, when you're talking about, for example, the Cardinals, that NFC West, that division is a killer. Who's going to win the NFC West?
Right.
And the Cardinals are right in it. That's impressive. I watched the Raiders the other night. They looked impressive. I think Drew Brees, I don't know, man. I think maybe some age is catching up with him, or at least that's the way it looks early on. I'm sorry, New Orleans. I just appreciate the fact that there was no preseason, and by the way, goodbye preseasons. Because
do you really
who's going
think so?
To say, right? Who's going to say bring them back? Let's play preseason games because we really need them.
But maybe with the injuries, though. But maybe with the injuries in week two, I thought maybe there'll be more of a push to bring back a couple of the games just so these guys get some reps.
Well, that's possible, or they can just bring back a normal training camp. Remember, training camp this year was like a month,
right? Right.
Normally it's like 6 weeks, sometimes seven, and there was no off-season conditioning of note. So they did off-season conditioning for like 2 weeks, and then they went right into training camp.
Off-season conditioning in their basements.
Exactly, yeah, on their elliptical. And that's not the way it works. So I'd be surprised if we see a lot of guys stepping up and going, I'm the guy that wants preseason next year. Nonetheless, you're absolutely right. There's been injuries. I mean, the San Francisco 49ers last week. I don't know if their season is derailed or not.
We'll find out once they move forward, because as you say, that NFC West is a killer. I like how you put it. All right, you can find Armando on Twitter at Armando Salguero, S-A-L-G-U-E-R-O. He is our NFL insider for radio.com and also longtime with the Miami Herald from Jacksonville Tonight. Armando, it's so good to talk to you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Amy, muchas gracias. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
De nada, señor. Really good to talk to him, too. And I love that he's the NFL insider for radio.com, so we can get him on the show whenever we like. And there aren't that many media people who are traveling to games. And so for him to be able to get there and to be in Jacksonville, and I like that he admits he cops to being one of those people who's asking a lot about Tua Tagovailoa and whether or not we're going to see him and when are we going to see him. And obviously, the victory and then Ryan Fitzpatrick's success, at least these last two games, has tempered the enthusiasm for Tua. And also, there's no reason to change. I mean, Brian Flores, while he may be the hand-picked coach for the rebuilding project, They're not certainly going to tank in 2020. They don't need to. Now it's about building a culture, and winning comes along with that. And these wins can be major confidence boosts, even if they aren't contending in the AFC East. But I still think they can take some teams by surprise in this wide open season. What games are you looking forward to this weekend? You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. I'm trying to keep up with all of your replies and all your posts, and there are so many. Trevor says it this way on Facebook. I'm going to keep it simple. I'm looking forward to all of the games. Isn't that nice that we have all of the games?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Mahomes, first and 10 from his own 17. Long, he's got Hardman wide open, 50, 40-foot race, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City as Hardman slings the ball into the section behind the goalpost. An 83-yard touchdown strike by the NFL MVP.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of Mitch Holthus, Super Bowl champion Chiefs. But in 2019, they had to go through the Ravens, who, of course, were the top seed in the AFC at 14-2. One of those losses came to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and Mecole Hardman and all those weapons that the Chiefs had. And so last year, the score was 33-28. The year before, 27-24. And that one went into overtime. But it was one of the starts that Lamar Jackson made his rookie year. And so a lot has changed for both these teams, of course. Many of you, like me, looking forward to this Monday night showdown. And I'm really hoping they keep the fake crowds to a minimum. That's all I'm asking. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We've got our poll up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. That game's taking place in Baltimore. The Sunday night game is Green Bay at New Orleans. And right now the Packers, at least offensively, have looked locked in. And they've had some good pressure on opposing quarterbacks. Two wins already inside the NFC North. Also in the poll, we've included... We included Buffalo hosting the 2-0 Rams, so both those teams still perfect. And then we kind of bandied about a couple of other games. We looked at Houston and Pittsburgh. We thought about Tennessee, Minnesota. Minnesota desperately needs a win, but home, of course. And so to have these games early in the year where it's not easy, actually, to decide which ones you must pay attention to, it was hard to settle on number four. But we went with Cowboys at the Seahawks. And let's be honest, Cowboys fans, they could very easily be 0-2. The hole they put themselves in, 20-0 against the Falcons, for most teams, that's insurmountable. Not all. They played well. Dak Prescott with history. And so they deserve every bit of that first victory for Mike McCarthy. However, the Falcons had to do their own style of choking as well. And so the Cowboys they're skating on some thin ice here. Dallas at Seattle, and the Seahawks, of course, are 2-0. And right now, a lot of eyeballs on one Russell Wilson. But let's not be handing out MVP awards after week two. Okay, this is not like Major League Baseball where they're playing barely a third of the season, and now they're getting ready for their playoffs. Which, by the way, we do have some baseball news that we'll throw into the mix as well. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Right now, Geico offers an extra 15% credit on your car, motorcycle, and RV policies, and that's on top of what Geico can already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Kevin is in Texas. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. Thank you. Cowboys fan. I'm headed back towards DFW right now. So I'm looking forward to that game. Got a lot of injuries, but a lot of teams have a lot of injuries, so that's not an excuse. The good teams find a way to game plan around those injuries and still win. But I expect the game to be a shootout myself.
I'm sorry, you expect it to be a what?
A shootout.
Got it.
A lot of points scored. I don't think... Seattle's defense will be able to slow us down, and I really don't think we're going to be able to slow them down. I think the key for us is to control Jamal Adams. He's going to be up in the box all the time trying to slow down Elliott, which means he's also going to be blitzing on the passing down. So should be key to stop him and keep him off of Dak, give Dak time to throw the ball. And, you know, although he is a great run defender, he's not very good at coverage. So I think we will beat him a few times with Lamb and or Cooper, whatever's in the slot at that time. And then on the opposite side of the ball, you know, we're so weak on defense right now. I think we're going to have a hard time slowing them down. If I was Steve in the game, I'd probably double up on Metcalf and then put Lamb on Lockett and then just pray that Carson doesn't have a big game catching balls out of the big backfield and old man Olsen doesn't hurt us. But I think it's going to come down to whoever can make the stops, I think. I think it's going to be – I bet it's going to be a – 60-point game.
It might be. And you can say, I had a hard time hearing you, Kevin. It sounds like you're on a Bluetooth or something, so I can't hear all of what you're saying. But the idea of a lot of points shouldn't be a foreign one, because these two teams have both given up a lot of yards and a lot of points to this. Well, the Rams game against the Cowboys wasn't a lot of points, but the Rams started out really well at the beginning of each halves. And we know the Seahawks have given up a lot of points as well. But similar to what Kevin mentioned about the Cowboys, they've also been able to score a bunch. Listen to this. Of Russell Wilson's 9 touchdowns, 6 have been 15 yards or more, and a third of them have gone at least 35 yards. And so Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys, they know that they're going to have to be able to contain that passing offense, especially that deep threat, and not put themselves in another hole to compete in this one.
We need to take a big step and go win a game against an excellent opponent that's playing extremely well on offense. I mean, you can't say enough of what they've done offensively the first two games.
Dak Prescott, meanwhile, had 450 passing yards last week, third highest total of his career. And we also told you that 312 of those came in the second half, along with the 3 rushing touchdowns. These two quarterbacks are in a nice rhythm and groove, so maybe it's the defense that ends up making the difference. Dallas won't have their star linebacker, Leighton Vander Esch. Of course, he's got the broken collarbone, so he's out. They also don't have their cornerbacks. even the rookie, Trayvon Diggs, is a question mark. Maybe. He had a shoulder issue, showed up on the injury report. But Seattle has had its own issues, lost 2 guys, especially the big name Bruce Irvin to the ACL. And so there's a lot that you could look at on both sides of the ball and wonder, okay, is that going to make a difference? Is that going to make a difference? And so they're two very potent offenses, but it could be the defense. One of them's going to have to make a stop eventually, right? So Cowboys and Seahawks, which of these games, that's one of your options, are you most jazzed up about when it comes to this week 3 in the NFL? Eek!
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The 2-2 pitch. A swing and a line drive into right center. Hit number 2,000 for Yadier Molina. The ball is fielded on a hop by Garcia. And a tip of the cap to number 4 for the Cardinals.
2,000 hits. That's a lot of darn hits. And what's even more impressive about it, and some of you guys can recall, this wasn't an offensive-oriented player when he came into the league.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Who remembers that about Yadier Molina? He is one of the old dudes that we love here on the show. The old dudes rock. And it should have been a raucous scene. It should have been a crowd that was cheering and screaming and fired up and adoring one of its longtime members in Yadier Molina, who needed 2 singles, but got both of those singles to reach 2,000 career hits. And no, it wasn't in front of a packed house of intelligent, passionate fans like they are in St. Louis. But what a moment for Yachty. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, The Call on the Cardinals Radio Network. And this is a series between two teams that are still hoping to make the playoffs. And they can take the moment for the side show. That makes it sound like a gimmick, but they can take a moment for this milestone. And they did give him a standing ovation, which is kind of fun. Celebrations are so different in 2020, but you can still take the second to pause and to honor a guy that's meant so much to the organization. Now 17 years with the Cardinals and 38 years old and is still productive and still fiery as well. We've been talking about the fire of one Ryan Fitzpatrick, and these guys are about the same age. And think about some of the big hits that Yachty had in the postseason in October a year ago. And you know, he still not only commands the battery and is a guy who's large and in charge. He's so intense, but still cares about every single game and has a passion for what he does. And so congratulations to Yadier Molina. And do we have him talking about the 2,000 hits as well? That'd be cool to hear.
Amazing. I mean, it's just great honor. A lot of effort, a lot of years to get at that point, at this point. It's just great. I mean, the most important thing, we got the win, obviously. But that moment was good. Good for me, good for my family. I think they enjoy it right now.
It's one of the things I love about the older athletes is that as they reach these milestones, they don't take them for granted. They're not ho-hum about them, especially if they've had to work and scratch and claw, and most of them have. I mean, you stay relevant in your sport for close to two decades, and you have done a lot. You've done a lot of scratching and clawing to stay not only in shape physically, but mentally, to be able to compete with young guys and the constant influx of youth and strength and speed and explosiveness in the sport. And very often, older athletes rely on their knowledge and their wisdom, their experience, their brains. So it's less about the sheer force and the sheer speed, and it's more about what they bring to the table in terms of understanding the game and the nuances and also the tricks. I mean, there are tricks of the trade that you only know and you can only find out by going through it. There's no shortcut to experience. And you're talking about a Ryan Fitzpatrick, you're talking about a Yadier Molina that bring loads of experience. And that is extremely valuable, not just to the pitching staff, but also to this clubhouse. So the Cardinals beat the Brewers, but we still have just four teams in the National League that have clinched playoff spots. And so we're still looking at a lot of playoff spots up for grabs on the Major League Baseball diamond. And I think that's cool. It kind of gives us that sense of urgency as we go into this final weekend. You know, we know this is not going to be the playoff format moving forward, and I'm glad because I don't need to be seeing 16 teams in the postseason. I feel like it's a little bit bloated. However, it's cool that after a shortened campaign with only 60 games tops for these teams, that you'll have more teams involved because that means more fan bases involved. And it's great that we're likely to have fans at Globe Life Field for both the National League Championship Series as well as the World Series. So in the NL, here's what we know. The Braves have won the East. The Cubs have clinched a playoff berth, though not the division title, because the Cardinals are only 2.5 games back. The Reds are only 3 games back. And if you ask Trevor Bauer, he is the favorite. Not just the favorite, but he is the presumptive winner of the NL Cy Young Award. So he had a really funny quip that we'll play for you as we head through the show. But he's the same Trevor Bauer, even though he's in Cincinnati. And of course, he would make it a feather in his own cap if the Reds made the playoffs. Now, he's got the top ERA in the National League, and the Reds have won 8 of the last 10. So I suppose he can crow now. But I do remember 2 years ago, was it 2 years? No, it was last year. Was it last year? No, it was 2 years ago. It was 18. Before he got traded, where we had done this American League Cy Young poll, and somehow he saw it. I have no idea how, but somehow he saw it on Twitter. And he responds because he feels like he got slighted, because he's not in our American League Cy Young poll that we put up on social media. So he carries that massive chip on his shoulder with him everywhere he goes.
Trevor, do you feel like you have cemented yourself as the Cy Young winner? I don't see how you can see it any other way.
That is so Trevor Bauer. It just is. He's at 100 strikeouts. He is certainly been a revelation this season for the National League and for the Reds. So I appreciate him. I guess that when you're looking at the ERA and you recognize that the DH has been added this year in the National League, this is even more impressive. But he's tops on the senior circuit at 1.73. So that's his ERA. It's actually second lowest in Major League Baseball behind Shane Bieber, former teammate with the Cleveland Indians. So, in the National League, we've got two division titles. We've got the Dodgers, who've already locked up the number one seed. We've got the Padres, who have reached the playoffs for the first time in over a decade. And then the Cubs and the Braves, which still leaves us with four teams from the National League. But even as we're mentioning Dodgers, oh my goodness. You know, Vin Scully joined Twitter not that long ago. And he put out a special. He doesn't tweet much in terms of typing things up. He misses his TV days. He much prefers to post videos. And so he posted one about the Dodgers winning the division title.
Hi, everybody, and especially members of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Here's one sending you our heartiest congratulations on winning the National League Western Division 8 straight years. You know, it's very difficult to win. I think sometimes fans forget about it, thinking, oh yes, now they've won it 8 in a row. But it is so hard, no matter how many games you play, to win. In fact, I guess those thoughts are in my mind because when I first started 1950, the Dodgers lost the pennant in the 10th inning of the final game of the year. And I remember driving home thinking, what an experience. I'll probably never go through that again. And sure enough, 1951, the Dodgers lost in the bottom of the 9th inning on the famous Bobby Thompson home run. And then there were a couple of good years where the Brooklyn Dodgers won. And then we came to California, started off on the right foot in 1959. But in 1962, there was that pain again as another one went down the drain. So over the years, it's nice to win, but it really breaks your heart when you lose. So I'm just trying to tell you, I'm not building excuses for the ball club. They have done their job up to the point. But remember, when they're battling and they've won the championship division, it is very difficult to win.
I love that man. I love that man. Do you know that he and his wife sold a bunch of their personal memorabilia from his time in baseball? He's a Hall of Famer. He's got a couple of World Series rings, or he did. But he has a bunch of other memorabilia that he's collected over the years. And they sold it, including a Brooklyn Dodgers ring that was given to him in the 50s. And it sold for over $184,000. And I wondered about this. Now, the auction was originally scheduled to be July, All-Star Weekend. I'm not sure the exact date, but it was supposed to be the All-Star Game in Los Angeles in July. But obviously that didn't happen, so it was moved online. But he and his wife are using the proceeds of the auction for a few things. Number one, they want to help their kids, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren with expenses, living expenses, going to school, that type of thing. But also, they're donating a lot of money to UCLA for neuromuscular research because his wife, according to Vin Scully, his wife suffers from Lou Gehrig's disease. And right now, there is no cure and really not much viable treatment. And so they did this big auction, and it's this memorabilia that you can imagine most people would never part with. And yet, in their eyes, it's a means. You know, he's got all these memories, and his mind is obviously still sharp, even in his late 80s. And I love him, and I love hearing his stories. And I'm so thankful that we now have the Twitter avenue. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So I mentioned only four teams have made the postseason so far in the National League, but in the American League, the field is nearly set.
And a 1-2 pitch, swing and a miss to finish the ball game. And for the first time in 4 years, the Toronto Blue Jays are going back to the postseason. The Blue Jays are stepping out onto the field of play.
High fives, handshakes, hugs by the coaching staff as they start to celebrate. The Blue Jays went into 2020 with a let's see what can happen to let's make it happen mentality. They have done it. They have clinched a berth into the postseason with a 4-1 win over the New York Yankees in downtown Buffalo.
I love the fact that Buffalo plays a role. It's a piece of Buffalo history. Baseball turned Buffalo into a major league city. And, of course, they did some renovations, some quick fixes to the stadium to try to make it as much as possible a stadium that closely resembled a major league facility. But what a neat storyline to come out of 2020 that Buffalo turned into the home base of the Blue Jays. And you hear last night on the Blue Jays radio network that they clinch a playoff spot and they do it in their Buffalo dig. So I love that from the Blue Jays radio network. And that means there's just one spot up for grabs in the American League. It's not guaranteed to go to the Houston Astros, but right now they are the team that's the closest, and there's not a real tight race, not a lot of teams that are breathing down their necks. They're close enough that they haven't clinched yet, but the Astros are the only other team above 500 that hasn't yet locked up a spot in the American League. And so 7 of the 8 spots are taken for granted already, or are taken. They're taken. They're punched. The Astros would likely have to take on the Rays unless something drastic changes over the weekend. But the Twins, they've got 2 fewer victories than the Rays. And, you know, the way they're seeded is according to record. And then number 1 plays number 8, 2, 7. So it's a little bit like the NBA in terms of its playoff format in this wacky 2020. And the baseball postseason begins on Tuesday. Tuesday. It's here, peeps, right in the middle of everything. But I think they're smart to start on Tuesday, which is after Ravens-Chiefs and Week 3 wraps up in the NFL. We're halfway through.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.